Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show, and our last show of 2019. I'm going on my honeymoon. We're taking a little bit of a break. Joining me today is Travis
McClunky.
Brian Malkowitz.
C-Team.
And Paul Tassio has joined us from Forbes.
I don't have a catchphrase, so.
You gotta get one, man.
Get on board.
How about, gotcha? No, I don't know.
Sure. What about like Sassy Tassy?
I'll do it next time.
Buy my book.
On today's show, we're going to be largely recapping a lot that we've discussed already, but we're going to come at it with the context of what has happened in week two and how we're feeling about the Dawning at this time and going forward. So to start, we got the story continuation of Saint 14 this week.
Sweet.
And I really, really enjoyed the mission. What was your impression, Brian? Did you like it? I take it.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, it was good. You know, it's very rare in Destiny when you kind of get to fight along. I mean, you're not really fighting alongside. Spoilers for anybody who hasn't done it. You don't really fight along Saint 14 in this mission. He's in the mission. You're fighting with him and around him. So it's something that Destiny needs more of, especially from last week's mission, where you're actually fighting with. You know, Saint 14.
I love that bubble. That dramatic conclusion.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I love stuff like that. We need more of that in the game.
Yeah, Paul, what was your reaction?
I liked it a lot. I think someday I'm hoping Bungie can figure out how we can fight with NPCs that aren't just locked in one place.
Exactly. Yeah.
We got locked in one place for a while there, and then he did.
And then he helped.
That's
us
when
out.
He can move. Yeah. Only one of us can move at a time. That was cool. How we finished off the boss with this giant flying smash attack. Mm-hmm. That was cool. The cutscene was good. I was kind of hoping for a little bit like of a Saint and Osiris interaction.
I was thinking exactly that. Yeah.
Because it's like, man, he spent all this time trying to get him back. I guess there's more weeks to come, so it's
like
possible
a hug, maybe. Like
yeah, I was waiting for the hug moment where they.
Well, he was 10 feet. Hug. He come was on. 10 feet away from Osiris. Yeah. Not that far away from him. He's just right there. Yeah,
yeah. It's also kind of weird
think that would have happened.
Yeah,
he just goes back in the Infinite Forest, right? Isn't that because then it's like, oh, bring him a cookie in the Infinite Forest, or?
Well, that way he can like avoid screwing up the timeline, because if he just stays in the Infinite Forest and just punches Vex for 5 years, then he can come back out and he hasn't messed up. Anything.
Yeah. So, he's taking the long way around, right?
Yeah.
It's like he has to go through everything he went through. But
no, I mean,
he can
afterward,
survive.
Though, when he finally comes out.
No, when he comes out, he doesn't go back into the Infinite Forest.
Where is he?
No, now he's now we don't know where he is.
Yeah, oh, we don't know. At some point, he's going to appear as a vendor in the tower.
That's what I would assume. Yeah. But I think I saw in the Dawning. Actually, I saw this before I did the mission, which totally spoiled it for me. The Dawning says, like, bring him a cookie in the Infinite Forest.
Oh, really?
Like that. And I was like, oh, cool. So now I know Saint 14 survives. But yeah, I think I don't know where he is.
Yeah.
How about headbutting a Vex to death repeatedly? How about that moment?
Until it explodes in Vex milk.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the most Titan thing ever. Yeah. I approve.
So, Paul, you wrote an article today. And you think he's going to be the harbinger of trials, basically.
I do. I mean, if you played that mission and he's just shouting things at you like, two for one, and like, those were very crucible-like phrases.
Oh, like, he's gonna, like you're assuming he's going to be like the narrator.
I think he's
going to
be the trials announcer.
That'd be great.
And this is conjunction with my other theory that I think we are, through Empyrean Foundation or something, we are building the foundation of trials ourselves. And then if we rescue Saint and Saint becomes the announcer, I feel like all of this could come together for a Trials debut next season. Like the timing works, and I it's kind of a conspiracy theory, but I'm hoping I'm at least partially right.
Yeah, there's
I like the part where you referred to it as fan fiction within your article. Yeah, where
it
are you
is,
saying?
It right? is, I mean, I was literally writing like fake dialogue for Saint, so at that point it is.
Yeah, there's even that I think there's a shader or something in the game that's that you get, and it's the way you get it is it says complete the Empyrean Foundation effort, restoration effort. So I imagine there's some merit to what you're saying, where they're like it's gonna become
that'll
like
be the thing we're building in whatever.
Yeah,
capacity.
It's like restoring trials.
Last time, now we're building this thing. So
this is like pie in the sky for me. But when I read like Empyrean restoration effort, I'm like, man, what if like they meant by like restoring like where Bungie saying that they want Destiny to be an ever evolving world? What if like the restoration effect is alluding to. Restoring Mercury to how it was, you know, pre-collapse.
Yeah,
that's what the photos show.
Yeah, I mean, so something like that. Yeah, so if like at the end of the season or towards the end of the season, the play space of Mercury becomes what it looks like when you go into the past, and it looks all pretty and nice.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Maybe
that is. I agree with that. I think that could happen.
Yeah,
I certainly like any theory that involves Trials coming back. So I'm a fan of your theory, Paul.
Did you guys even get a little bit frustrated with planting the transponders and
like, oh my God.
Discovering the location? It's tedious. It's not like the worst thing.
Yeah.
The best part is going to Nessus and being crowded around five people trying to find this one. We're all like,
there was one in particular that was pretty annoying.
Yeah, because it's like, oh wait, you need to go like through the way you would do that strike and go all the way underground. And
yeah, they have a marker in one place, but it's like, oh, you need to go in this tunnel entrance like 50 miles over there.
You trolls, Bungie.
Yeah.
Just let us mark it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. In their defense, it does say on there where it is.
Yeah.
It gives you location. It doesn't say in the tangle. It says like in that location. So it's kind of just us for looking at the map and going, oh, it's there. And going straight to the marker on the map.
But like once you're through it, it's not that big of a deal. But it's just kind of like when you're surrounded by five people
jumping around in trees like, trying to figure out where this thing is.
I'm typing all caps like, where is it? Where is it? So that was the only tedious thing that I really found. All the obelisks are now open. Oh,
speaking really, of tedious.
Really, sorry. Speaking really of tedious. Really quick, before we continue on to that, do you remember back when Xur did the weekly bounties and we got sort of these story beats? I think they're doing that now with their seasonal model. I think imagine you signed on every week and something like this happened every single week.
Yeah.
Leading into the next season. That'd be
awesome.
That's
fine. Yeah. If we get cool story missions like that, obviously they all don't have to end in a cool cutscene because, you know, that's expensive. And But
an in-game moment, something around surrounding Saints or like even the dialogue stuff with Osiris, even that I appreciate where you actually have to just read the text to get story continuation. I really appreciate that. And I was critical last week saying like, oh man, like what's with the story development?
Yeah, it's just because like, that's a product of drip feeding content is like, we don't know. And so it's like, we criticize it because Bungie's not saying anything. And then the next week comes and you're like, oh, this is awesome. I wish I would have known something like this was coming.
I do appreciate you defending me, but I'll eat crow when I need to eat crow. I like this, and we'll see if it continues throughout the season. I think it'll sort of peter out eventually so that everybody can get a chance to experience it. Do you think they'll continue it throughout the season, Paul?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm not going to expect a story mission a week like the ones we've been getting. I think if there are still missions, they'll be kind of reduced. We'll start reusing other like older areas and stuff. I think the drip feeding works. It gets a little weird sometimes when you have Osiris saying like, hey, go talk to Saint. Like you got to guide him through something. And then Saint's just gone for a week. And then you got to wait until Tuesday or whatever.
Oh, he's like, and it even says at the end of that, when you're ready. And I'm like, I'm ready now.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
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 I had the same thought.
Cause like I went to the tower to try and find him and it's just his floating shotgun still, still sitting there. So he's not there yet. So I guess we'll see, but I agree. And I think it's kind of the evolution of the whole, like visit Marsaw, visit the Drifter thing where it's like playable and we might only get a cutscene or two, but it is so far it's been an effective way to tell the story this season.
Yeah. What about you, Travis? Do you like this sort of storytelling method?
Yeah, I like it. I feel like they've already kind of petered out. I don't know what we're going to do to talk to Saint 14, but I feel like if we do anything, it's probably going to be like a ritual or like a small task. Because they had this on the calendar as like save a legend, and I think it was supposed to be the climax and kind of felt like it. So this might be another hanging thread where we don't really know what's going on with Saint 14 until a future season. I hope I'm wrong, but that I've been trained to kind of expect that what seems like the end of first act is actually the end of the whole arc for the season. So
We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah.
It seems like it is the end of the obelisk unlocking, though. We got the last two. We got EDZ and Nessus.
Hmm. And then there's that presumed tower obelisk as well that we don't have yet.
It's interesting. I wonder why it only affected those planets. It's probably something with how Mercury was intertwined with those locations.
Maybe alignment.
Yeah, maybe. Alignment. I don't know. Because, like, we didn't put one on Io, and we didn't put one. Where else would we have put one?
What other planets are there? The moon.
Yeah, we didn't put one on the moon. The moon would be tied.
Tangled Shore, Dreaming City. That's the same place, but.
No, there is one on Tangled Shore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but not Dreaming City. Yeah anyway, I guess we could eventually get more, but there's nothing on the roadmap.
Yeah, I don't think we're going
to
get more.
It's already a lot to have four.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bunch of stuff.
Like in terms of loot drops at some point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe the one that's rumored to be on the tower might just be one place where you can do like
all of them.
So you don't have to go to four different locations.
That'd be nice, actually. That'd be great.
I don't like the fact that you can't just activate one like at that tower. I don't know. I don't like that you have to go to the planet, then deactivate all, then activate one if you want the drop.
So maybe eventually the tower obelisk alleviates that. Like,
that's what I'm hoping. Let you toggle, I want these drops. Boop, boop, boop. You know, that would be pretty good.
Did you guys have trouble with the EDZ one, like not activating?
Yeah. I think everybody's having
orbit
that.
Orbit and back.
I had to do it like 9 times. It was very irritating.
Fifth tries the charm or whatever.
I didn't even activate the EDZ one, to be totally honest. Like, I did the bare minimum this week. I played through the story content because I wanted to be caught up. Yeah. I love story stuff. I unlocked Nessus, and then I left the EDZ one. I unlocked Nessus all the way. And then
there's honestly also no rush to unlock the
obelisk.
So we got until March, April, you need to get all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, prepping for the honeymoon. Yeah. So, personal life stuff.
We get it. You're happy. You have a relationship.
Get your priorities, Destiny.
It's
Destiny and then
Largely, I've been playing a lot of Crucible lately because I'm trying to get Luna's Howl and Not Forgotten. I'm on Solar Kills, 70%. I've been
getting there. Get ready for those hand cannon headshot kills.
Well, I've been rocking Thorn to get used to rocking a hand cannon, and I really like Thorn.
Thorn's good.
Thorn is dope. So where was I going with that? I've largely been activating the one on Mars? Yeah.
Mars. There's Mars.
Yeah, that's a Crucible.
Yeah, the Mars one with Crucible. Yeah, I
the extra bonus things. I swear those don't work.
Yeah, I haven't been getting drops either. Like, it doesn't seem to be doing anything for me, even though I've been powering it up. I mean, maybe once in a while I'll get like 10.
Right.
Yeah, but I haven't really seen it. So you'll have to let us know in the comments below if you've been getting it. What obelisks have you guys been focusing on, Travis?
I haven't really gotten into it yet, but there's one that gives you a shotgun that I've been trying to get, and then I think that was from one of the ones they did yesterday, but I haven't gotten too into the obelisks yet. There's like 8 drops total, like, right?
Into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, two main drops plus the, I think they're like a reprised weapon.
Yeah. I'm trying to focus on leveling up one and then moving on to the next one, so now I've got Tangled Shore fully leveled up.
You need to level up all of them for the Triumph, right?
Yeah.
To level 10.
I'm going for the seal this season, by the way.
There you go.
I didn't go the last season.
Speaking of seals, I just got enlightened last night, finally.
I'm not going for that seal.
A little late, but...
Well, you don't need, like, 200 auto-rifle kills and Sundial or anything, as far as I know. So it's not quite as grindy, it seems, as the last one.
For the title?
Pentacles, though.
For the title?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want it just because I want that Saint 14.
That's why everybody's rocking. What's that primary fusion that everybody's using?
Arbalest.
Arbalest.
Linear fusion rifle.
Yeah. Season of the Arbalest.
It's for the fusion rifle, which I have. I've got two of the weapons, the seasonal weapons.
Yeah.
The sidearm.
You get the sidearm you can get in like 4 strikes.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, thank God.
Yes, thank God. Really I got that one, and I also got
I just need to do the
Crucible
points
one.
What's
the linear fusion rifle?
It's the
Kobodo.
Yeah,
I forget.
Yeah, I already hit the rank requirement. For
I have
that
the rank requirement. Yeah,
that goes by pretty fast. I think they reduced it, right? It's only like
you only need to get to heroic.
It's very low.
It was 2,100 for Randy's, I remember.
Yeah. 2,100, yeah.
And with the catch-up,
1,000 for this
with the catch-up mechanics, I'm already like halfway through Fabled, so it's pretty going pretty quick.
Yeah, I think I'm already 2,000 in comp or something, so I'm trudging along pretty well. Maybe not 2,000, 1,500. I haven't been no-lifing it.
So. I haven't started at all on the Gambit Ritual Weapon.
Oh, yeah.
But you have
I'm pretty fatigued by Gambit.
No, I haven't started.
Personally.
Me neither. I'm going to start that this week.
Do you guys remember when they said that they were going to pick a Gambit mode and go with it? That still hasn't happened.
Oh yeah,
they still have both Gambit modes available.
Yeah, they made it sound like that was pretty far off, but I've converted over to Prime just because it's shorter and like that's
the way.
You know, has won me over.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Oh my God, Star Wars nerds.
That's right. Okay,
so this is one I can't talk about. I didn't get a chance to really experience the Dawning, but Travis, you spent a ton of time in the Dawning. Tell us about your reactions and what you thought.
It feels like last year's event, but they've added a few more cookies. They actually even include your progress from last event. So
yeah,
like,
if you have, already have 50 out of 50 on the Sparrow.
Yep, I've got 50 out of 50, and all of my seasonal stuff is done except for like six added new ones.
Yeah.
And they're mostly like making new cookies, and you know, I'm not fully through the quest line of giving cookies to everybody, but seems like it's going to be quite a grind. So,
do we know what the end of that is?
It's a ship. You get a ship.
It's a ship?
Yeah, it's a ship, okay. And then I think there's also a Sparrow, but you get a ship for I think completing the whole event.
That's bullshit.
Nice. All right. Watch your mouth. It's the
No, but the Dawning is also is like kind of nicely worth it too, because all the bounties are double XP, are like more worth double what normal bounties are. Plus, I think they reward a generous amount of.
Yep.
They brought back Avalanche and what was the other weapon?
Cold Front. That's a new one.
Honestly, Cold Front is new. The best way to play it is to do Gambit this week, because you get double XP for Gambit. They have tons of bounties, which bounties are double XP, and then you can get all of the ingredients for killing all the different enemy types, because Gambit has all the different mobs in there. That's like the, if you just want to like rush through it, like this is the week.
And you'll have like infinite baking materials, like that sweet Cabal oil.
Yeah, you're going to get that Taken butter and just cover yourself in it.
All right.
Sorry, Destin.
Paul? Yeah. Paul, what do you think about the Dawning? Tell us your thoughts. No, it's fine. Like, I can't really speak to it, so.
I mean, it's not that involved really. I mean, it is all the cookies from last year. There's a couple new items. The armor sets are really awesome. I've already spent all my dust on the three ornament sets.
Yeah, I kind of really want to do that too.
That's kind of the highlight of the whole thing. So now, I mean, I'm just baking cookies just passively, you know, based on the activities I'm already doing. Because my main focus is I'm going really hard at the obelisks. So like I'm kind of doing the Dawning as like a background thing, but I've already maxed two obelisks, and like I'm going to go for the other two this week, and the Dawning's just kind of like a side thing I'm doing in the background just to get, you know, bonus presents and whatever. And then I just masterwork my oven with all the new recipes. So now if I want to mass produce cookies, I can start doing
cost
that.
Less.
So,
it's also like, it's also nice because the Dawning is around just as long as Festival of the Lost was.
A month.
Yeah, we get a long time with it. Mm-hmm. So same deal where you don't have to rush through to get your like, I know you already masterworked your oven, but there's like, you know, no rush to get through all of that.
I'm sorry, I can't keep a straight face. Everybody talking about masterworking their ovens and
baking
cookies. And it's just like, what game is this?
cookie efficiency.
Are there any pinnacle rewards?
For, actually, I don't think so.
For
Dawning?
I think just the ship and the Sparrow.
They know that. No, like, no pinnacle, on, no pinnacle drops. Front. Like the weekly bounties don't offer pinnacle rewards, do they?
Oh,
no! Remember
the pinnacle drop.
The
no,
forest had had
is.
One.
The forest had one. Yeah,
level 7 or whatever, or was it 9? I think it was
9.
Yeah, and yeah. Okay, well that's fine. So I wanted to actually ask about that. I have no interest in ever chasing pinnacle power again. Like I hit 960 and I'm totally satisfied there. I've been playing pretty casually the last 2 weeks, right? Like I've been really busy with work and life stuff. So I hit 960 last night and I'm like, I'm not doing it. I'm not chasing 970. There's no reason to. I'm already 965 with the artifact, and the artifact just totally eliminates that need for the 10 extra power boost.
Yep.
It was sort of an interesting reaction, like Bungie severed any connection I had or excitement I had for that power grind, and that's been the effect of the artifact. This was largely what I was wondering about when Shadowkeep was introduced, and you know, what would it be like next season? Well, you raised it 10. Okay, well, I know there is no reason I should hit 970 or even try to.
Yeah,
you know, unless I need that 10 power.
Yeah,
because it's going to be 980 in season 10.
There's no activities like that even need power at this point. Not really.
Yeah,
I mean, they didn't change anything.
I think Legend Sundial will be the thing that needs
in February.
Well, yeah,
Legend difficulty right now is listed at 950.
Yeah, Master is 980. Right.
Yeah. So is Legend Sundial going to be 950, or is
I'm not
this Legend going to be like 1,000 or something?
Hmm.
I'm not necessarily saying this is a problem either. I'm just saying I have no incentivization whatsoever to chase the power grind. And I was wondering if you guys felt the same. Like, are you worried about 970? It's a thing you can do.
Yeah. So I think the problem is not the higher barrier of entry to get to cap. It's really the fact that the artifact makes it unnecessary to do it. So they kind of have to pick one or the other. I think that if they kept the current really high barrier to get to max power, but then got rid of the artifact power and kept just the artifact mod thing, that would solve the problem. People would want 970 then, because then, you know, you get to max power. But with both of those two things at the same time, it's like too hard to get that far. And also the artifact can do it anyway. So like, what's your incentive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brian? For me, I don't, I mean, you
play pretty hard. Like you do the raid a lot and everything.
I think it's another layer of something to chase. Mm-hmm. So I kind of enjoyed in that regard. And also the reason why I want to grind myself up to 970 is, you know, so when, you know, harder difficulties come out, like Legend Sundial, assuming that it's higher than 950 as current Legend things are, then I'll be ready for it to, you know, easily get through it. But I don't know, it's fine. It is a little disheartening though at the end of the season or at the beginning of the next season when all that light is, you know, kind of cut off.
Yeah.
But
Paul, and what do you think?
I don't really.
And to extrapolate, like, what's your reaction and how do you think the community is reacting to it?
I think most people are kind of okay with a break from the power grinds, mm-hmm. because there are still plenty of grinds. Like, you can grind the season pass. There's a bunch of weapons to grind in the sundial.
Yeah,
there's obelisks to level up. So like, there is still a grind in place. It's just now you don't have to make this arbitrary number go up. My opinion is that I think that the artifact power system doesn't really accomplish that much. Like, I like getting XP to rank up the battle pass, and there are legitimately good rewards in the battle pass that affect gameplay this year. I like ranking up to get unlock artifact mods, but like, when you get plus one power, like, does anyone celebrate like, oh yeah, another plus one?
Yeah, power. Now I'm 962.
It doesn't feel like anything. And like, it doesn't feel like anything until you get this aggregate built up. But by that point, it's, you know, it's like boiling the frog. It's like you don't really even notice it until you suddenly have it. So I think they could just do away with it and just increase the power grind a little bit and speed it up a little bit.
Primary grind.
Get rid of the artifact power thing. Because I don't think that really is an influence or something that feels good to chase, even if it's useful.
The going off of that, now that I think about it, it causes an issue of regression. And that feeling of regression when like you've done so much to progress up to a certain powerful level. So take the dungeon, for example, you know, if you're at the end of the season, you know, 980 or close to 980, mm-hmm. and you're much more effective in the dungeon now. So you felt that progression over the season. And then the next season comes out, you lose that 20 to 25 light that you've gained over it. So then you go do the dungeon again. And now you're worse in that dungeon because mm-hmm. you've lost all that light. Mm-hmm. In a game that's meant to, you know, push you forward and progress you, taking that away in activities that you've already mastered is kind of a weird feeling.
It's a super interesting problem. I don't even know if it's a problem, really, but it's just an interesting thing that I'm noticing. Yeah. I don't really care about my artifact power. Like, I'm 965, and I didn't even try. And I know that's more than enough to do every single activity in the game.
Yeah.
Everything. And do it at a level that I need to. So I'm less incentivized. Do you have any thoughts, Travis?
No.
I just want to make sure I don't have my back.
Yeah, no.
Blocking you out of the whole conversation.
Put up a wall right there.
Yeah. So, what do you guys
think? No, I think you're right. Like, the power grind doesn't really seem to matter right now. And I don't know if that's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One other thing I also noticed this season. By the way, this is what a show looks like when I don't do a run of show. It's a little bit off the cuff. We're doing it earlier in the day because Brian has a very busy production day and watching movies.
Star Wars.
Yeah. And Paul has a busy day too, and we all do. But
play more Destiny.
Yeah.
And more Destiny.
One thing I noticed this season is there are a lot of bugs.
Yes.
I feel like every day GLAAD is posting something that is broken. There were triple drops. Right?
Yeah.
Not really a problem, by the way, but they fixed it pretty quick. There was the weapon infusion problem.
Symmetry is bugged. It has it staggers champions when it's not supposed to. So everybody's like, oh, cool, a hidden exotic perk.
Yeah.
And it's actually not. It's a bug, and it's a perk that's reserved for an exotic coming down the road.
Yeah.
That other scout rifle's broken. The one that the three headshots makes the fire explosion. What's that gun called?
The three headshots.
The new one? No,
you're talking about Polaris Lance.
Polaris
That's
Lance.
Four.
Oh,
four.
That one's bugged.
Yeah, that one's bugged. Yeah.
Is that a new bug?
Yeah, because if you shoot the four and you proc perfect fifth and you shoot the that explosion and then immediately shoot again, that explosion is canceled.
Yeah.
So if perfect fifth is effectively broken unless you don't fire after you shoot and let the explosion
One, two, three, four, wait.
Yeah. No, it's one, three, four, shoot, wait, and then shoot again.
And then there was infinite supers for a while with one of the perks.
Yeah. I'm really glad you mentioned this because I'm in love with the narrative that Telesto is just eluding Bungie because that weapon right now can have infinite ammo based on, from that locked and loaded perk. A mod that you can get from the Tangled Shore Obelisk, and it's so funny that like seemingly every season there's something
it's
wrong
Telesto.
With Telesto, but it's wrong. Telesto. It's messed up in a way that it's beneficial to us. It's always broken in a way that the gun is elevated to a higher level.
It's on our side,
exactly. Yeah. It's like, and I just love the fact that that's happening. That it's just so funny to me.
Remember in D1 we had Icebreaker and we can get infinite heavy ammo in the raid and whatever. Like do that glitch. And,
Bungie hated Icebreaker, I think, more than any other gun.
I think Lesto doesn't come back.
I think you're
right. In Destiny 3,
like how do we design an encounter based entirely around an infinite ammo sniper? Like they hated that gun.
Yeah. I was looking back at some of my old trials footage and I'm like, oh yeah, Icebreaker. Literally everybody has Icebreaker. Yeah. That was like mandatory in your loadout near the end of trials.
That's great.
And
my theory is that there's a secret Bungie fan, a Destiny fan, not a developer working in the Bungie office.
It's CJ.
We've got a mole on the inside.
Putting in bad code.
And they the one job they have there is coding for Telesto, and they're just finding ways to help us out.
It's funny that it's a fusion, too, because Pocket Infinity in Destiny 1 was just busted as hell.
I love that gun.
Like the entirety of Destiny
That doesn't
1.
Mean we want fusion rifles removed from Destiny 3.
No.
They said that one's not coming back though, like ever, just because it caused too many problems.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like in Destiny 3, Telesto is just going to get the boot because they're like, can't figure this damn gun
There's
out.
No way Telesto makes it into Destiny 3. No way.
So I think we're in consensus. We really like Saint 14 and we like the storytelling surrounding Saint 14. Osiris is whatever. I would say they were successful in redeeming him as a character. I'm more interested in him, and he's less annoying than he was.
I'm more concerned, we were talking about earlier, where Osiris and Saint didn't have a interaction at all after bringing him out of the Infinite Forest from him being there for centuries. But it's also kind of weird that it didn't involve Brother. I know we'd all hate him, but Brother Vance. He isn't involved at all, he's like 10 feet away from Osiris. He's just like, there he is.
Also, he had never met Osiris.
He never met him.
He
didn't
really
even
wanted
do it in
to.
The last DLC.
Yeah.
So
he's just standing there with binoculars, like
he's like, "I will
come talk to me
someday."
I think their storytelling. I think a side effect of like their storytelling being spaced out week over week is that there's like gaps that don't really make sense, like the no reunion with Osiris, and we're not really sure where Saint 14 is, and that sort of thing. But I also really wish that there was more Sagira. I feel like she was like the one breakout part of Curse of Osiris. Everybody loved her.
I have to imagine that's probably a voice actress like issue.
Yeah, I mean, Miranda Baccarin is probably doing other things. This is the kind of the issue when you cast some larger names in your stuff. Like, it's hard to get them back.
Yeah, because we'd rather them not recast those characters. I know they did it with Cade, but that was just to send them off, not to actually like... bring in Nolan North as Cade permanently, but
they call this the Dinklebot conundrum.
Yeah.
In the biz,
he was bad.
I miss him sometimes.
Dinklebot
had
was
his
bad.
Charm though.
Bad
he had his charm
from the moon.
I think they got Dinklage. Dinklage is a fantastic actor, right? And I don't know what happened in the sound.
I have to imagine,
but he came off so poorly.
Yeah.
In his delivery.
Probably
hey, Guardian.
It's gotta,
let's get you into
the first
fight.
Destiny controversy from the Alpha was Peter Dinklage's voice.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah. I don't remember it being that bad in this first reveal though.
I did a side by side.
It was bad. They didn't even like modulate
in the reveal?
It was just him like flat talking in a studio as Peter Dinklage, and then later they added some kind of ghost sound effects and stuff. To
well, it
spice
was
it, up,
it was Game of Thrones time, and Destiny was blowing up, and he probably did his hour of VO or whatever they had him booked
for. He probably just didn't have time. And it's like, oh, I can't do reshoots.
Yeah. Look, I got to go kill my dad in Game of Thrones. Yeah. So it's a big shoot day. You know?
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers, everybody.
Surprise spoilers for Game of Thrones on the Fireteam channel.
Anyway, we agree about the story stuff. Getting back on track. The obelisks are all revealed. Mm. We think Saint 14, well, at least Paul thinks Saint 14 is going to be the narrator of Trials. And then
which would be so cool.
Please. And, please.
Yeah. Overall, Season of Dawn, pretty positive reaction.
Yeah, pretty positive.
So far, so good.
Better than I thought.
We'll see how we feel in March.
Especially coming off of the reactions that we had of the initial reveal, which I think probably is partly on Bungie's fault for just like wanting to keep a lot of things secret, but doing a not so great of a job of setting up expectations.
Right.
Luke Smith, I had really low expectations.
Exactly. That's the thing is we had low expectations, and I'm not sure that's a... like a good way to like handle it, because if you're, you know, everybody's going in negative, there's a lot of people who are probably like, oh, I'll skip this season since everybody's being negative towards it.
Luke Smith has said in the past that he's okay with people thinking worse of the game to have secrets for players when they actually
play.
That's fair.
I'm not saying you need to tell us that Saint 14 is going to be saved and come back and be a tower vendor, but I'm just, you know, even though they kind of did by where you, in the roadmap it says save a legend, but yeah, still.
I don't have anything else for the show today, so real quick, I'll just go around the table and do one more question. Mm-hmm. And in the comments, I'll ask you guys the same question for your homework. Sorry I didn't read any of them on the air. We'll be coming back in January, most likely. Brian, you're back, right?
In January?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, so we'll be back in January, probably that first week. And I want to know what your favorite thing about Destiny is right now, or just something that you're thankful for in general. Mm-hmm. You can do either or. And we'll go around the table and just talk about that. What's your favorite thing in Destiny right now, Brian?
Telesto. not just what it's doing at the moment, but it just the idea around it is my favorite thing in Destiny.
Yeah. It's Travis.
I really am like thankful for the Revoker sniper rifle. I think it's underrated.
Like a month ago.
Yeah. It's not underrated. It's phenomenal. Yeah.
It is phenomenal, but I feel like we don't take time to appreciate that there's like a really good comp sniper rifle that like it's just reliable. It's always in my loadout. I love that gun.
I had to replace it with what's the one from Menagerie? Imperial?
No, Imperial Decree.
No, that's the shotgun.
That's the shotgun.
Yeah.
Anyway, this Beloved.
Beloved.
Yeah.
Beloved,
so I had to replace it with Beloved. And I just, when I miss, I'm just like, well, there it goes. But with Revoker, you get that like, you know, passive perk. Paul, what's something you're really enjoying right now in Destiny?
I mean, I'll be really basic and do the central activity of the season, like the Obelisk Sundial grind really lands. Like I'm about to start getting 4 drops a Sundial run,
which is pretty fantastic. Crazy. Yeah.
And then once you get to rank 90 in the season pass, you can start getting 2 perks on each of those drops. So like the God War grind and like so many of those weapons are really strong. So nice. I'm very much enjoying going for that.
Nice. And for me, I will just say the community. Oh. I'm grateful for the community. And thank you for everybody who is watching and who has watched the show and supported the show over the years. That is our last episode of 2019. We'll be back in 2020 with more. All right. Well, that's it for this episode, everybody. Until next time, Guardians out.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.